Well, good morning, Harmony. This is Pastor Stephen Baker, and welcome to the Sunday morning service at Harmony Baptist Church. This is our special online edition, and we're so glad that you have come to worship with us this morning through prayer and Bible study. I'll be continuing our study of Genesis this morning, and the title of the message is, When It's Time to Leave. When it's time to leave. And for our viewers in the United States and American citizens around the world, we want to wish you a very happy Memorial Day weekend. We want to honor all those who have given their lives in service to their country, and also remember the military families who have lost loved ones. For our prayer request today, we want to remember Miss Lois and Joe. Miss Lois got to leave the hospital and come home, which is wonderful. But she's still got some challenges ahead, health challenges, and they're pretty severe health challenges. And we want to be in prayer for Miss Lois and for Joe, but we're glad she got to leave the hospital. We want to pray for Pastor Austin Gardner. He is in the ICU with the coronavirus, and so we want to ask prayer for him and pray that the Lord would heal him. His breathing is getting better, but he's hooked up to a ventilator and he's in a induced coma, so we want to pray for his healing. We want to pray for all the members of Harmony Baptist Church. We want to continue to pray for Pastor Mohan, who's a pastor here in town, and he's fighting cancer and he's taking chemotherapy, and it's been very hard on his body, so we want to continue to pray for him. And we want to pray for all the military families who have lost loved ones on this Memorial Day weekend. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house. We do pray that you would forgive us for our sins. We pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. I pray for Miss Lois. Pray that you would bless her and heal her. We thank you that she was able to leave the hospital. We do pray for Joe. Pray you'd bless him and comfort him. We pray for Pastor Austin Gardner. We pray that you would heal him. And please help him to recover and to come out of this intensive care unit, and to please heal him of the coronavirus. We pray for all the members of Harmony. Pray you'd bless all our members, our shut-ins, all those who are listening today. We do pray for our in-person service as well, and we pray that you would bless that and those who came out. We pray for Pastor Mohan, who's fighting cancer, and we pray that you would heal him, and we pray that you would take away his cancer, and we pray for all the military families who have lost loved ones, and we just pray that you would bring comfort today. And please help those who travel this Memorial Day weekend to have safe travels and to get a good time of rest. And we ask in Jesus' name that you would bless the message. Amen. Well, the title of the message again is When It's Time to Leave. And it's from Genesis chapter 31, verses 1 through 55. We touched on the first two verses of this chapter last week, but today we'll go through the whole chapter. Everybody leaves. We leave jobs to go to new jobs. We leave schools to move on to new schools. Sometimes we leave our homes and move to new homes. Some people leave their husbands or wives and they move on. Some leave one church and move to another. Everybody leaves. Jacob found out that it was time for him to leave his father-in-law and go home. And we'll study that today. So, by way of introduction, we'll look at verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says, "And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory." And so, Laban's sons were jealous of Jacob. Jacob had been working for Laban, but he was also working for himself, and he'd gotten a deal that he'd struck with Laban, and Laban had agreed to it, and Jacob just kept up his end of the deal, and God prospered him, and his sons, Laban's sons, who were tending another part of Laban's flocks, they thought they were going to do better than Jacob, and they got beat by Jacob, because God was blessing Jacob in this thing. And so Laban's sons became jealous and envious. And they said, "Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's." Wasn't true. "And of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory." It's amazing what people find glory in. These sons of Laban found glory. They said, he's gotten all this glory. They found glory in sheep and goats. That's what they found glory in. It's amazing what people will find glory in. I mean, we've got eternal things going on. We've got the needs of men getting saved and women getting saved. We've got eternal things going on, and people find glory in the type of car they drive and how big their house is and how many were in attendance this Sunday or last Sunday. And we need to find glory in what God says is glorious. And so, as we look at this, they were envious of Jacob. And the Bible says in verse 2, "And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before." So before, Laban had been for Jacob. He had liked Jacob. He had thought Jacob was doing a great job. But now, Laban's sons bring up with Laban, "Hey, he keeps beating us. He keeps getting all these sheep for himself, and he's got more sheep than us. And his sheep are stronger than ours." And so Laban decides that he doesn't like Jacob very much anymore. He was fine with Jacob, by the way, when Jacob was working just for him. And he was cheating Jacob. And he was winning. But as soon as he quits winning and he starts losing, he doesn't like Jacob anymore. We adopted our son and daughter a while back. It's been a little over a year, I guess, but they came to live with us several years ago, and I sat down and was playing Candyland with my daughter. And if you know anything about Candyland, there's no skill involved in Candyland. It's just the luck and the way you draw the cards. But my daughter had stacked the deck, and she was cheating at Candyland. I found out, my wife told me that that's a Hudson thing. The Hudsons cheat at games. And I didn't realize that. But she was cheating at Candyland. And I caught her cheating. And I said, no, we're not going to cheat. We're going to play the regular way. And we started playing the regular way. And I won. And after I won, she said, "I don't want to play anymore." And so, that's because she always wants to win, very competitive. And so, Laban wanted to win too. And as soon as he started losing, he said, "I'm not playing anymore." He got mad. And so the Bible says, Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. So our first point, having given the introduction, our first point is that God commands Jacob to go home in verses 3 through 16. So verse 3, the Word of God says, "And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee." So Jacob had served Laban now for 20 years. 20 years. And it was time for him to go. And God says, "Go. Go home, and I'll be with you." And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock. He calls his wives, and he said unto them, "I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father hath been with me." Man may fail you, and often man does fail, but God will never fail. And so God says, his countenance is not towards me as before. He doesn't like me very much anymore, but God's been with me. "And ye know that with all my power I have served your father." Ecclesiastes 9:10, Solomon said, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." So Solomon said, once your body's dead, it's in the grave, and you can't do anything with it anymore. Now, of course, Solomon also talked about the spirit of man that goes upward, and so he believed in an afterlife. He didn't believe that the grave was the end. And, of course, as Christians, we believe in the resurrection of the dead, and the Bible teaches the resurrection of the dead. But Solomon's point is, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it while you can and do it with your might. Put your all into it. You only have one chance, only one life, so soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last, the song says. And so, serve God while you can. And Jacob says, "Ye know that with all my power I have served your father." So Jacob was not a lazy person. He was not a slackard. He worked hard, and he did a good job for Laban. "And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times, but God suffered him not to hurt me." It's wonderful how God protected Jacob. And it's wonderful that when people try to cheat us and do things to us, that God will protect us. And oftentimes that's the way it happens. And so Laban had tried to cheat him. And the Bible says, he says, "And he changed my wages 10 times. Now this is something that we do not learn about until this chapter. Because where we left the last chapter, they make an agreement, and Jacob sticks with the agreement, and Laban sticks with the agreement. But when we come to this chapter, we find out that Laban had actually changed the terms of the agreement 10 times to try to beat Jacob. And Jacob explains it in verse 8. "If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ring straight shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring straight." So in other words, what would happen is, Jacob would say, "Well, I'll take the speckled and spotted, and I'll take those for my hire." And Laban thought he was going to win, and there wouldn't be very many speckled or spotted sheep or goats. And it ended up that the sheep and the goats had all speckled and spotted. And so Laban said, "Well, I can't let this pass, so I'll change it. You can only keep the striped ones." And then when they'd have babies, they were all striped. And he'd say, "Well, you can only keep the speckled ones." And when they had babies, they were all speckled. This was God's work. God was blessing Jacob. But Laban was trying to cheat him. Verse 9 says, "Thus God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me." So Jacob recognized that it was God that had prospered him. He didn't take credit by saying what a good shepherd he was. He knew that this was God's work. "And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived, that I lifted up mine eyes and saw in a dream. And behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ringstrakes, speckled and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here am I. So God guided Jacob through a dream to tell him what to do. God spoke to Jacob in dreams. He dreamed about Jacob's ladder, and God spoke to him there and affirmed his covenant. And now God speaks to him here. And so God was working and explaining to Jacob what to do. And he said, Lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ringstraked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. So God does not like crooked people. He saw all that Laban was doing to Jacob and thwarted his plan. Laban's plan was to cheat Jacob, but God did not let him get away with it. In verse 13, God says, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. So God, it says, I am the God of Bethel. God is the God of the house of God. Bethel means house of God. So God is saying, I'm the God of the house of God, where thou anointest the pillar. Bethel was where Jacob had his dream about the ladder. Jacob's ladder, where he saw it reaching to heaven with angels ascending and descending on it. And God confirms his covenant with Jacob there, and he built a little memorial there because of what he dreamed. And he promised God that he would tithe, that he would give a tenth of what God prospered him with, and he promised that that place, that memorial, would be the house of God. And so he'd met with God there. And it's a wonderful time when you meet with God in a place. And Jacob had met with God at Bethel, at the house of God. You can still meet with God at the house of God. And if you can't get to a physical church, then have church where you're at. And have church, we're having church right now on the internet. And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, Is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? So they said, we've got nothing left. We've got nothing left. Are we not counted of him strangers? For he hath sold us and hath quite devoured also our money. So Jacob had paid a dowry for the girls through his 14 years of work for Laban. Laban was supposed to keep this dowry for the daughters to provide for them if something should happen to Jacob. But instead, he had spent it on himself. He had nothing to give them. Laban was a thoroughly crooked guy. And the girls say, For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. So the girls believed that everything that God had given Jacob was also theirs, since their father had spent their dowries. It is a great confirmation to a husband when his wife, or in this case wives, back him up in what he's planning to do. It really is. Your wife can warn you. My wife has warned me about things before. Sometimes I've listened. Sometimes I've not listened, and I wish I'd listened. But it's also a great confirmation when your wife supports you in what you're doing. And she stands beside you. And in this case, they said, look, our father's cheated us. And we feel like what you've gotten back, what God has given you, is payback for us too. So whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. And that leads us to our second point. Jacob takes his family and leaves, verses 17 through 42. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels. And he carried away all the cattle and all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padan-Aram. I love how the King James says that. The cattle of his, it's like a tongue twister, all his goods which he had gotten, the cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Padan-Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. So he'd gotten a lot of good stuff. God had given him all these sheep and goats, and that's what cattle means. Cattle doesn't mean, it's not like a Western ranch. They were in the Middle East. These were sheep and goats. And God had given him these things, and he'd gotten quite a bit. And so he took everything he'd gotten with him to go to Isaac, his father, in the land of Canaan. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. And we're going to read a quote from David Guzik on this, the stealing of these images. And this is kind of a long quote, but we'll read it. Guzik says, Rachel took her father's household idols, teraphim. She may have wanted these because perhaps she worshipped these idols and did not want to be without them. Now, I'll just add in that I doubt seriously that that's the reason, but it was possible. Perhaps she did not want her father to inquire of them, using them as tools of divination to catch them, as he may have previously done, Genesis 30:27, because Laban did use divination. And he said he did. And so he may have used these idols as part of that. Or perhaps it was because such idols were often used as deeds to property, and she thought she was taking her inheritance. So I think this is very likely. The girls, the women, the wives, had already stated, Rachel and Leah had already stated, that they felt like the things that Jacob got, that God had blessed him with, that used to belong to their father, they felt like that was payback. And so it's quite possible that Rachel had grown up seeing these idols and looked at them as kind of dolls or things from her childhood, and she said, I want these, and they're mine. Perhaps Rachel stole, I'm continuing Guzik's quote, perhaps Rachel stole the teraphim simply to get back at her father, whom she felt had mistreated her, her husband, and her whole family. Jewish traditions say Rachel took the teraphim because she wanted to keep her father Laban from idolatry. And that's a very noble thought, but it was probably something more base than that. She probably either wanted to get back at him or thought, you know, I'm taking these, they're mine. So we come to verse 20, and the Bible says, and Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not, that he fled. So Jacob didn't want a confrontation with Laban, so he left. Some people like to leave churches that way. They don't want a confrontation with the pastor, so they just never come back. Pastors always wonder why they left. It's generally better to meet with your pastor if you're leaving and say, Pastor, I'm leaving, and here's why. It might help him to understand, and it might help him to correct something. But there may be situations where you just leave and you don't say anything. God worked it out for Jacob, but Laban came looking for him. Verse 21, so he fled with all that he had and rose up and passed over the river and set his face towards Mount Gilead. Gilead was about 300 miles away, and it was a long journey. And with his wives and all that he had, he might have been able to go about 15 to 20 miles per day. So it would have taken him a while. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. And I can't help but notice here an allusion to Christ and His resurrection. The third day, Jacob has been in a sort of a bondage situation. I don't know, that's not really the correct word for it, because he voluntarily stayed there for the last 6 years, but he'd been kept there. He volunteered the first seven, and then Laban cheated him, so he stayed there seven more to earn Rachel, and then he worked for six. But at any rate, he's unhappy, and God has delivered him, but Laban doesn't hear about it until the third day. So he can't do anything about it until he's 3 days away. And when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was in the tomb, but on that third and glorious day, he rose up from the dead and brought salvation to us. And Jacob on the third day is away from Laban, and he's getting away from the crooked Laban that would want to keep him and would want to take from him, and he's free. So the Bible says he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey, and they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. So this mountain was 300 miles away, and they were moving quickly, but they went after him. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, Take heed, that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. So God has a way of taking care of those who would threaten his people. Jacob was in the will of God. God told Laban to back down. He said, don't say anything to him either good or bad. You may intend to do something to him, but don't say anything to him. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the Mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done? So now we have the confrontation. Laban comes to Jacob, and he says, what have you done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Which is not what happened. But Jacob did leave unawares. He snuck out by night. Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, and didst not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth and with songs and with tabret and with harp? Well, I doubt it would have been that way. He probably wouldn't have let him go. But then again, God's willed it. God wanted Jacob to leave. And God didn't tell Jacob to keep it a secret from Laban, so far as we know. So he might have sent him out with a party. But he says, and you have not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Thou hast done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. The truth is, if Jacob had talked to Laban before going, as we said, it was God's will. He would have likely been able to leave. But Laban may have pressured him to stay, or threatened him, or demanded his stuff, which Laban felt he had been cheated out of. Or Laban might have wanted to keep his daughters at home with him. He didn't realize that his daughters couldn't stand him because he cheated them too. And the Bible says, and now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? Be sure your sin will find you out. The little gods had been stolen by Rachel. Jacob knew nothing about it, but Laban wanted those gods back, those little idols. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, peradventure thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me. with whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live. Before our brethren, discern thou what is thine with me, and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. And I doubt if Laban had found the gods, the idols with Rachel, that Jacob would have let her be killed, but at the time he would never have suspected Rachel of doing this. And Laban went into Jacob's tent and into Leah's tent and into the two maidservants' tents, but he found them not. Then went he out of Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them in the camel's furniture. So that could have been the saddle. It could have been a blanket or something that would be spread over the camel. But nonetheless, it was the camel's furnishings. And she sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but he found them not. And she said to her father, "Let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of women is upon me." And he searched, but found not the images. So she said, "Dad," very respectful, but she said, "Dad, I'm on my period. I'm not getting up. I can't get up." And she sat there, and she was sitting on top of the idols. And Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, "What is my trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Wherefore thou hast searched all my stuff? What hast thou found of all thy household stuff? Set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge betwixt us both. This 20 years have I been with thee." Jacob had probably wanted to say this for a long time, but he never had. So now he's angry, and he's just going to say it. "This 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten." It was a common thing for shepherds when they were tending sheep, for the sheep to miscarry, or for the shepherds to eat of the flock. And indeed, Jacob didn't do it. He had well tended the sheep. "That which was torn of beast I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night." Chuck Smith said, "Now if a shepherd was watching over a flock and a beast would tear it, he would bring the carcass to the owner and give him the carcass, and thus he proved that he had driven off the wild beast and captured the animal. But he didn't have to pay for it. Actually, the owner suffered the loss. But he said, 'I didn't bring any carcasses to you.'" So Jacob had gone above and beyond in being honest. "Thus I was in the day," let me read that again. "Thus I was in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from mine eyes." So shepherding was hard outdoor work. This was not something that was easy work that Jacob was doing. A lot of times we think of Jacob as kind of a sissy. And Jacob was no sissy. He was a man, and he was used to hard work. Even though he had been dishonest with his brother and with his father, he was nonetheless a hardworking man. "And thus have I been 20 years in thine house. I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters and 6 years for thy cattle. And thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Again, I'm sure he's wanted to say this forever. Everybody's worked for somebody who you just wanted to have it out with them. You wanted to go to the supervisor, or you wanted to go to the boss, and you wanted to say, look, I've worked hard for you, and you've done so-and-so to me, but you didn't say it. And so Jacob is finally getting to say it, and to his father-in-law as well. And he says, except the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hast sent me away now empty. God hath seen mine affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight. So he says, God saw what had happened and he rebuked you and he told you not to say anything to me and not to do anything to me. So that leads us to our third point. Jacob and Laban make a covenant. And Jacob answered and Laban answered and said unto Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and this cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine. And what can I do this day unto these my daughters or unto their children which they have borne? This is Laban's last stand. He knows he's been beaten. All he can do is claim that everything really belongs to him and claim that he's being gracious to let Jacob have it. And he says, really, if my daughters weren't here, I'd get you. But my daughters are here and I'm not going to do anything to hurt them. So I'm a gracious person. And so he says, now therefore come thou. Let us make a covenant, I and thou, and let it be for a witness between me and thee. So Laban is smart enough to know he's beaten. He wants to come to terms of peace. And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. And Jacob said unto his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and made an heap. And they did eat there upon the heap. So they're making the covenant over a meal. And Laban called it Jagar Sahadutha, but Jacob called it Galeed. Laban called it by an Aramaic name, but Jacob by a Hebrew. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between me and thee this day. Therefore was the name of it called Galeed, which means a witness heap, and Mizpah, which means a watchtower. For he said, the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another. If thou shalt afflict my daughters, or if thou shalt take other wives besides my daughters, no man is with us. See, God is witness betwixt me and thee. It's interesting that Laban, who had cheated Jacob and who God had warned, now brings God into it. And Jacob's God, and said, God will watch you. God will watch you. And if you do anything to me, God's going to get you. And that's what he did. That's the type of person that Laban was. He always had to be in charge. He always had to be the winner, even though he knew that he'd lost in this instance. And Laban said to Jacob, behold this heap, and behold this pillar, which I have cast betwixt me and thee. This heap be a witness, and this pillar be a witness, that I shall not pass over this heap to thee, and that thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar unto me for harm. Laban said, you can visit. You can bring the grandchildren to visit, but don't come to hurt me, and I won't come to hurt you. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge betwixt us, and Jacob swear by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat bread. And they did eat bread and tarried all night in the mount. And early in the morning, Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned unto his place. So it all ends peacefully. Well, now I want to make several observations about leaving in closing when it's time to leave. That's the message, when it's time to leave. So first let me say that most people leave too soon. Most people leave too soon. Jacob could have left Laban much earlier, but God hadn't told him to leave. And it may not have been safe for him to go home because his brother Esau had wanted to kill him. But Jacob could have left much earlier. He could have left when he got Leah instead of Rachel. And he could have agreed with Laban to work 7 more years. Laban had just cheated him. And he could have agreed to work 7 more years. And then once he got Rachel there at the beginning of that 7 years, he could have just left with both his wives. But that would have been too soon. And it would have been dishonest. Instead, Jacob waits until God tells him to leave and until he's done a lot of honest work. But most people leave too soon. People leave churches too soon. God hasn't told them to leave. But they leave because they don't like somebody in the church, or they don't like the pastor's message. I remember back when I used to preach in jail an awful lot, one of the inmates got mad at my preaching, because he'd never heard expository preaching. So he didn't understand what it was. And so he got mad and he said to some of the others, he said, that guy just don't preach right. He don't preach right. But the truth of the matter is, he just wasn't used to having the Bible explained and expository preaching. And some people leave too soon. And most people do, in fact. Most people leave marriages too soon. You get married and it's a commitment. And love is not a squishy feeling. That goes away pretty quickly. love is a commitment. And we make a commitment to one another and to God, ultimately. And so we need to try to preserve our marriages and fight for our marriages and go to counseling even when it's bad. There have been plenty of times when my wife and I could have split up. We've had some really bad times. And there have been plenty of times when my wife could have left me and I could have left my wife. But we didn't. And most people leave too soon. So we need to be careful to leave when God says leave, and not sooner. Secondly, let me say that some people stay too long. Some people stay too long. Most people leave too soon, but some stay too long. I've done this before. I've stayed in a place when I should have left. My wife had told me, we need to get out of here. We need to leave. And I wouldn't listen to her. I wanted to be loyal. And, you know, it's one thing to be loyal to a person. Jacob was loyal to Laban. He served Laban. But ultimately, Jacob had to be loyal to himself and to his family. He had to take care of his family. And he came to the place to where it wasn't safe for them to stay. It wasn't good for them to stay. What was going on wasn't good for them anymore. And he could have been afraid to go back. After all, 20 years before, his brother had wanted to kill him. And he could have been afraid to go back. And he could have said, I won't go back. But instead he left. He left because God told him to leave. Once God's told you to leave, you don't need to stay any longer. There was a day when I realized that God was telling me to leave a certain situation I was in, a certain place. And I knew that God wanted me to leave. And I left. I left. It was scary. I don't like change. But I left. And God has blessed wonderfully in the place I'm at now. So God has blessed. And I could have stayed too long. And in fact, I did stay too long. Some people stay too long. If you're in a situation where you know you need to leave, you know it's not right. You've tried to fix things and they can't be fixed. And you know that it's against the Bible, or maybe you're working a job and you've tried to fix things and you're just miserable all the time. Maybe you're miserable because you need to leave. Maybe God wants you to leave. Maybe He doesn't. You need to determine the will of God for yourself. But some people stay too long. Most people leave too soon. Some people stay too long. But we must base our decisions to stay or leave on the Word of God and guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's what we as Christians, as believers, that's what we need to do. We need to base our decisions to stay or leave on the Word of God and guidance of the Holy Spirit. What does God want me to do? What does the Bible say? If you're in a situation that the Bible says is sinful and wrong, you know you need to leave. You know you don't need to stay in that. We can justify it any way we want to, but if the Bible says this is wrong, then leave. But if the Bible's not really clear on the situation and we're just trying to figure things out, then we must base our decision to stay or leave on the Word of God and then the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes God, if you're a man, sometimes God speaks to you. In fact, oftentimes He does through your wife. Jacob didn't leave until his wives were on board. And it's interesting that when God told him to leave, then his wives also were on board with it and said, "Good, let's leave." They were on board with it. The truth of the matter is that God can make it so that He speaks to you and He also speaks to your wife. And God can speak to her, believe it or not, men. A lot of men think that they're the one that should make all the decisions. But the truth is that God can speak to your wife as well. And a lot of times wives have insight about things. And we need to listen to them. And sometimes they'll tell us to stay when we don't want to stay. And sometimes they'll tell us to leave when we don't want to leave. And we should listen. We must base our decision to stay or leave on the Word of God and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And I'm just saying, men, that the Holy Spirit can speak to your wife. And Jacob did not leave until God spoke to him and his wife was on board with it. People leave churches and then regret it. Pastors leave churches because things are going badly and then later regret it. I had a friend that always wanted to pastor in Atlanta. And he went to Atlanta and pastored, and things got tough, and he felt kind of like he was young and inexperienced, so he left. And after he left, he regretted it. He said to me in the past, "I wish I had just stayed. I wish I had just stayed." And the truth of the matter is, people all the time leave too soon, because they have not heard directly from God, either in His Word or through the guidance of the Holy Spirit confirmed by the Word of God. And we need to wait for those things. Jacob worked for Laban for 20 years before God told him to leave. 20 years. He was cheated. He could have left in his humanity, in his flesh. He could have left. But for 20 years, God hadn't told him to leave. He and his wives did not want to leave. But when God finally said, "Leave, go home," and he talked to his wives about it, his wife said, "Hey, we're on board. We want to leave too." And they left. And so, base your decisions on the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. When it's time to leave, God will show you. God will show you just like He showed Jacob. And God will show you as well if you'll seek Him. If you've never been saved, there's no time like now to leave the bondage of sin and come to Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross. He was buried and He rose from the dead. And if you'll turn to Him today and put your faith in Him, He'll save your soul. And He will give you eternal life. He'll set you free from the bondage of sin. Maybe you're serving a hard taskmaster like Laban. Maybe you're serving a hard taskmaster. Sin is a hard taskmaster. And maybe you're addicted to something. Maybe something's got you in bondage. Maybe you're in an immoral relationship. But something's got you in bondage. There's no time like the present to leave. For the Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. And you can come to Jesus Christ today. You may have walked many, many, many miles away. But it's only one step back to Christ. Just turn to Him by faith and believe in Him. And He'll save you. He'll come into your life and He'll deliver you from the bondage of sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these Thy people. I thank You for those listening. I thank You for this Memorial Day holiday weekend. I do pray that You will bless us. I pray for those that are not saved, that You would convict them and save their souls today. I pray for those that need to make decisions to leave bad situations, to leave something that's unbiblical. I pray that they would leave now. And I pray for those that need to stay in situations which aren't ideal. They haven't heard from You. I pray that they would seek Your face. But I pray that they would stick it out if that's what You have for them to do, and that You would show them great blessings just as You did to Jacob. We ask it, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen.